Welcome to the Borderless Podcast, your guide to traveling, investing, and living beyond borders, where we talk about living the life that you want to live, where you want to live it.
All right, everybody, welcome to another Borderless Podcast. This is your host, James Guzman. And today, I'm just going to share with you a live stream that I did. Haven't done a podcast for a while, and I wanted to try out some live streaming. I think it's a thing that maybe you guys would like. You know, let me know if you like that format. I can bring on guests and stuff like that, but with a live stream, people can ask questions and kind of interact more. So might be doing some more of those. And it's just kind of me talking about what's going on, how I see COVID, Mexico. People had questions about that, what it's like here. So I just kind of spoke about that. And so I hope you enjoy it. And, you know, another thing I had not mentioned is that I have been working with insurance companies specifically for travelers and expats. So if you are in the market for travel insurance or long-term global insurance, then please go to borderlessblog.com. You can sign up for a strategy session for me. I'd be happy to talk to you about your situation. And if you do end up buying, I will certainly discount the price of the strategy call from your premium. So yeah, check that out, or just send me an email, info@borderlessblog.com, if you have any questions about that. All right, so I hope you enjoy this podcast, and I will talk to you later. Borderless. All right, what is up, everybody? I'm trying to stream here. I've been trying some different software, things like that, and to get some streaming. I thought it'd be fun to do some streaming, and it's just a pain in the ass. I'm trying to find the right software that will let me do it on different platforms. So right now, I'm just going to do it on YouTube and on my iPhone. And so hopefully this works. I was going to talk a little bit about COVID in Mexico. I had someone who asked me about how it is down here. Evidently, in the United States, all they hear about is that it's very bad. Like, I don't know. I don't watch the news, like the regular news, but I guess they're saying that people are dying in the streets, whatever, which of course is bullshit. If you have any questions, you know, type that into the chat and I'll try to answer it. Let me know if this sounds good, if there's any problems. I'm just trying out streaming. I thought it would be a cool thing to be able to do, to be able to pop in my office and talk to you guys directly. I don't know. I haven't really been into the live streaming thing. So somebody can help me with the with the software, that'd be great, because I just have problems setting this up, and I wanted to make it look slick. Maybe I'll be able to get some of the software. I don't want to pay $600 for any damn the different type of software that they have out there to stream on different platforms and make it look nice. So anyways, all right, so first, somebody was asking me about COVID in Mexico. Hopefully I don't get any problems with YouTube or something like that talking about this. But first of all, I wanted to say that, you know, it's kind of funny because the way I see it, as far as like from a political standpoint, you know, the narrative goes that in the United States, Trump was playing down the virus, right, a year ago. And that, so because of that, it's kind of a political move that the Democrats were pushing the narrative that it's, you know, it's so bad and that they really need to lock down and all this, and that it's all Trump's fault if people die. And so in the United States, it's seen as kind of a left wing, I guess you could say, a left wing thing to be, you know, for, being hysterical about COVID, you know, that they're the ones that are for the strict down, lockdowns and the strict restrictions and all this type of stuff. And it's kind of funny because in Mexico, it's actually the opposite. So again, all these things are narratives, the way that I look at it, because really, is Trump a right-wing person? I don't think so. Is AMLO a left-wing person? I mean, I don't really think so. I see how people could think that, but I mean, these are kind of center establishment people. But the narrative goes that AMLO was playing down the virus, right? Because they're both of them, Trump and AMLO, are kind of like populists, you could say. So they're both people that were elected to supposedly, you know, stand up against globalism. That's what a lot of people think. So if this was AMLO is on the left, Trump supposedly on the right, and it's flipped. So in Mexico, it's actually PAN, it's the P-A-N. They're the ones that are the ones really pushing for lockdowns, pushing for closing the borders, pushing, and they're supposedly the conservative party, the right wing, right? So it's the exact opposite of the United States, where instead of, you know, the Democrats, which is supposed to be the left wing, who is pushing for stricter lockdowns over here in Mexico, it's the right wing, which is PAN, which is pushing for stricter lockdowns, which they have been. Now, what does that look like in Mexico? I'm in Guanajuato state. Guanajuato state is the only state that didn't vote for AMLO. It's the most conservative part of Mexico. And so they have been, so specifically Guadalajara has the head of Guadalajara, they call it the president, or, you know, it's basically like a mayor in the United States. He's PAN, which is basically the conservatives, you know, quote unquote conservatives. And he has been the most with pushing as far as, you know, QR codes when you're going to do traffic stops on the highway, and, you know, that you have to, you know, the temperature checks and all this type of thing. So that has actually been the conservatives that I'm pushing that in Mexico. But, you know, I'll tell you, to be honest, it's kind of a joke because, the people in Mexico don't really take their government seriously. But there still is this dynamic of, oh, I'm going to go against AMLO, or I suppose the left wing. And so that means I really need to take it seriously. I think it's just a political game, and it's silly. But so basically, I mean, there are places around Guanajuato, like I would say that 8 months ago, 9 months ago was like the most locked down that people were. The borders were never closed. The borders have never been closed. There's never been any quarantine. There's never been any mandatory tests, anything like that. I wouldn't say that there's like a mask mandate. I guess they passed, you know, these laws that they have all over the world are a joke, really. I mean, they're not legal. They're not, you know, I don't know. I think they can be stood up, and someone can stand up to them in any country. But here, yeah, I mean, there have been, so like where I am here in San Miguel de Allende, supposedly you're supposed to wear a mask on the street, right? I don't know that there's a mandate. I mean, it's all just a piece of paper written. I walk around without a mask everywhere. Nobody ever tells me anything. The police don't, tell you to wear the mask or to do anything else. So that's kind of how it is. The way that I look at it at this point, it's seen as polite. So, you know, Mexican people are very much into being polite. You know, they don't want to be confrontational, things like that. And so it's by this, in the beginning, nobody was into all of these restrictions, but there has been a lot of propaganda. They put a lot of money into radio ads and having trucks right driving around with you know, stuff blasting and signs that are saying social distancing or whatever, like I guess they have everywhere in the world. And so it's been kind of working, I guess. But I think that from what I've seen, a lot of people see it as they don't really buy into the whole thing. They don't have a lot of information, I think, which is a problem. I would like to supply more, information in Spanish for people that alternative information, because a lot of people just get it right off of, you know, the TV. They don't know other alternative ways of getting information. But so they think that, well, I guess this thing is going on, I need to be polite. And so normally what happens is that if you're going into a party, a get together, something like that, a lot of people will, you know, have a mask on, be social distancing, doing all this type of stuff. And then as soon as one person, you know, like pulls it down, the other person will pull it down. And then, so they say, okay, I'm trying to be polite, I'm trying to be respectful. But as soon as the other person does it, then they're like, to hell with it. So, I mean, last weekend I was at parties with hundreds of people. And in the beginning, everybody was following protocol or whatever it's supposed to be. And then within an hour, everything is out the window. It's like a big rave. I mean, everything's out the window. So that's kind of how it is here in Mexico. Nothing is really being enforced on people other than the businesses, which it's unfortunate. Like right now, even businesses are not being enforced, you know, a lot. But they do have like occupancy requirements for restaurants, for instance. But I don't know. If you go around now, you really can't see the difference. I'll be honest with you. You really can't see the difference. The only thing is that there'll be somebody sometimes at some of the big restaurants or grocery stores, and they're doing this sanitary, you know, theater, whatever you want to call it. And so you just got to go through the motions. I mean, I remember I went to a water park a week ago, and in order to get into the water, so it's all open air, right? And in order to get into the water park, you have to, they want you to wear a mask, and then they like take your temperature, right? And I swear to God, you have to wear the mask for like 3 seconds, okay? So you wear a mask for 3 seconds, you get in the park. There was probably 250 people. You're swimming with these people, and it's like, everything's out the window. You just have to wear a mask for 3 seconds. So the whole thing, it's like, it doesn't make any sense, but whatever. So I just want to explain to you basically what it looks like here, because people are asking me what's going on here. I guess in the United States, there's a lot, and on mainstream media, there's a lot of people that are saying that, or in the news that, you know, there's a lot of, everybody's dying in Mexico. I'm not sure. I don't watch this crap, right? But evidently there's a lot of people that are seeing this, thinking that it's just horrible. You know, what I'll say is that, sure, you know, and I, you know, I'm an insurance broker also. So like, you know, I do pay attention to this. So there's in Mexico, there's basically two different types of healthcare, right? You have public healthcare and you have private healthcare. And the private healthcare is great. I mean, they have amazing state-of-the-art facilities in all major cities. And you get, you know, amazing service, but you have to pay for it, or you have to show that you have insurance or that you are able to pay for it out of pocket. The other side of that is public, right? The public hospitals. And this is Seguro Popular is what they call it, IMSS, all this type of stuff. And it's kind of been consolidated, and it's being consolidated now. And it's just underfunded. You know, there's no other way to put it. It's not a place that you want to end up. And it has nothing really to do with COVID, although, you know, all this, it hasn't helped the situation, that's for sure. But, you know, it's always been a place where you go to a public hospital and you're going to have to wait in the lobby. They're not going to have the resources really to take care of you as you would want to be. So it's not a place you want to be. I mean, it's not a great situation. And all of the, you know, the hysteria around COVID has really made it worse, right? And what I've seen or heard from people, I should say, not really seen, but heard from people, is that very similar to what happened in New York in the early days. You remember when in New York, a lot of people were kind of overusing the ventilators and people were dying because of the use of the ventilator. You know, if you get on a ventilator, then there's a very low chance that you're going to survive, right? Period. Maybe 50% chance. And so a lot of people in New York were dying because of that. And this was a reason for a huge spike in deaths. And I think that, you know, from what I'm hearing and I'm seeing, similar things are happening in Mexico where, you know, and it's unfortunate, you know, I don't know what's going on or why, you know, all the details about this, but it seems that there have been people that have been over in the, especially in the public hospitals, especially among people that are, poor, you know, that don't have the resources and maybe the knowledge to understand what's going on, that they are put on a ventilator and they die. And the family never sees them. The family doesn't know what's going on. And, you know, unfortunately, this is happening. And so I think that had to do a lot with the amount of people that have died supposedly from COVID. You know, also we all know all the other stuff as far as the over, everybody taking the test. And then if they die anywhere close to taking the test, it's automatically said to be a COVID death and all this type of stuff. The numbers are just crazy, but I'll just say from my personal experience, I mean, I have not changed my life in the last year. I've been going out at least once a week with my friends, you know, 10, 20 people at restaurants every week, at least once a week. It's never stopped. So restaurants have been open. We've been able to gather, been taking no really big precautions, me personally. And I really, out of the people that I meet with and all this stuff, nobody's gotten unusually sick or anything like that. Out of all my friends, family, and stuff like that, everybody's been fine. Even if people have been, you know, sick, they've gotten over it. I've known one person that has died within the last year, and supposedly it was from COVID, you know. So that's been my experience. And so, I mean, you know, bars open, restaurants open. All right, guys, I wanted to take a little break here and remind you of something I've been telling you about. Marco Wutzer, who was on episode 111, has offered a special price for his Crypto Quantum Leap class. He is an expert in all things crypto, and you know, a lot of people have been getting on this bull market. We'll see how long it lasts, and who knows what will happen in the future. But if you want to learn the basics, and even if you want to go even a step higher and join his newsletter, which is called Project Serenity, you can do that. I would recommend going to borderlessblog.com, go into the affiliates section, and you will see his, you can click there for the Crypto Quantum Leap and use the code Borderless, and you'll get 10% off. Check that out. Check out some of the other affiliates I have there, and thank you very much. Borderless. You know, bars open, restaurants open. And when I looked at the figures that they're putting out, again, I'm just saying all this stuff because there was somebody that requested this information. The amount of people that have died over last year, right? The excess deaths has been, I don't have the numbers in front of me right now, but it's, you know, it's a very low percentage, right? So it's less than 1%. I think it's like 0.5% or something like that, higher than last year, even of the official numbers, right? So, I mean, you know, it's been a year now, and that's the best that has happened here in Mexico. That's, you know, and this is supposedly very, hold on for one second. So this is supposedly, you know, one of the worst places in the world. I guess this is what they're telling people on the news. Again, I don't watch it on the news, but this is what they're saying. But I mean, I'll just tell you right now that things here are, and again, where I am was one of the places that I wouldn't say it's one of the most closed. It hadn't been one of the most closed, but there have been, it's been state by state, kind of like the United States, but there were restrictions put on. And They do have this, you know, green, red, yellow light thing going on. But I'll just tell you that from me talking to people and my experience here, I don't think this place is going to lock down. Okay. So again, okay, I don't think that they're going to, not that they ever locked down in the beginning. I mean, again, the borders never closed. There was never quarantine. There was never a problem traveling within states, although some cities put up roadblocks. But really, the roadblocks are a joke. I mean, there's just somebody that stands there and they like take your temperature on your hand and they ask you where you're going. They say that you need a QR code, but you just tell them, you know, you're going to go visit your mom or something. I don't know. It's very easy to get by these roadblocks. It's all theater. And, you know, people were playing along with it. I think that after this year, we've seen that, obviously everywhere we've seen that it's not what they said it was. So I honestly don't think that Mexico is going to lock down or do, you know, like any type of extreme restrictions again. We'll see. You know, I see that Turkey just recently, they're going backwards. You know, Chile can't leave. The UK, you know, they opened up bars, but you still can't leave. Israel instituting these COVID passports. I don't see any way that in Mexico we could have COVID passports. It's just not anytime soon. Most, you know, a lot of people don't even have a bank account. You know, a lot of people don't have smartphones. So I don't see how they, I mean, it's not going to work. You know what I mean? Most people, when they buy food, like for me, for instance, you know, when we buy food, I go to there's five local tiendas here. I don't have to walk into a grocery store. It's food from a local farm that they source. And you can walk in and you buy whatever and you hand them cash. 80% of the market of the, you know, general economy here is, you know, what you can consider to be black market, gray market, whatever, just cash. It's people dealing in cash, not paying taxes, right? And, you know, the government doesn't like that, but that's the fact. So, so somebody says, yeah, so Ben says, if the media is telling you to avoid Mexico, it's time to go to Mexico, right? So, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I mean, I guess that people are being told that it's bad here. I don't know what exactly they're saying. I don't watch that media. But there's nowhere. I mean, I'm so happy that I'm here right now. Maybe I would consider going to Florida, like hang out there. But other than that, I mean, I'm straight. You know what I mean? There's nobody that's talking about forcing you to take to use a passport or making people take vaccines. That's not even mentioned. I mean, the president of Mexico has said that he's not taking the vaccine. So I don't see how they would, you know, that should give you something to think about. But, you know, the problem, one of the biggest problems I see with this whole fiasco is that we're so beholden to our, you know, politicians. And I hate it. And I think it's pathetic that, you know, yeah, it could happen that AMLO could be voted out and they could put someone from the other party and all of a sudden we turn into, you know, a similar thing that's happened in Chile or something like that or whatever. It's just, you know, the roll of the dice that, you know, people are giving all of their agency to politicians and allowing to do this, you know. And so, yeah, I mean, look at, you know, again, I mentioned Florida. DeSantis barely won. So, you know, he could lose next time. He could lose. So what happens if he loses and then, you know, Florida could be just like New York, for instance. So, you know, this is a big problem. This is kind of a roll of the dice where you end up. You know, I feel lucky that I've ended up here. I would say that it's not definitely not a horrible place to be. And so, but you know, that's not saying that who knows what the future holds, right? And so, I really wish that people in general worldwide would just not, you know, just take some of, you know, their lives into their own hands and stop just accepting people locking them down into their houses and all this type of stuff just because a politician tells them to. And there was just a general recognition of more, independence and, you know, just anti-authoritarianism across the world. But this is the world we live in. So I don't know. If anybody has any questions, I'm on YouTube. I got some people watching on YouTube. I'm on Facebook. And I just thought I'd try out this live thing, talk a little bit about what's going on with COVID. If anybody has any questions, you can send those over. So, you know, just to recap some of the stuff real quick, I was just saying that it's interesting that in Mexico, the political dynamic has flipped, in that in the United States, Trump, which is supposed to be the right wing, is downplaying the virus. But here in Mexico, AMLO, which is supposedly left wing, has been downplaying the virus. And so therefore, the opposite is the case as far as in the United States, it's the Democrats that want things to be more locked down. Here in Mexico, it's the conservatives or PAN that want things more to be locked down. So that's kind of funny. And it just shows how much of a theater and just basically bullshit all of this is. But I do think that we're in a new paradigm of politics, in that makes it very evident in that it's populism versus internationalism, globalism, whatever you want to call it. And AMLO and Trump both represent populism, just like Bolsonaro and these other places. Whether you like them or not, I understand, you know, if you hate Trump, you hate Bolsonaro, whatever, you hate AMLO, you know, that's fine. But you just got to recognize that the biggest phenomenon that's going on now, if you look at the worldwide financial press, they're hardcore against these people. It's not because they're right or left or socialist or capitalist or whatever. It's because they're populist, you know, and you could, you know, again, these are terms that get thrown around. I'm just trying to use these general terms, but basically they're fighting against, you know, AMLO calls it neoliberalism. Okay. Trump called it globalism. I think that rather than arguing over these terms, we could just recognize what's going on, possibly unite with people across the spectrum, and, you know, recognize that we're just basically having a global takeover, authoritarianism, and it's not good for any of us. So anyways, you know, I'm not sitting here and I'm saying that I love AMLO, but you know, I was terrified when he first came in. I thought he was going to be, you know, Chavez or something like this, but it's actually been very, you know, he's done stupid things economically, but I'm sure glad that I'm here right now and everything hasn't been shut down. And, he's taken stances against the big tech companies censoring people and stuff like that. So I think that there's a lot of stuff nowadays that we can do reaching across the spectrum and stuff like that. And I just wanted to kind of express my idea that as far as COVID goes, it kind of shows that we're in a new paradigm where it's not right or left, capitalist, socialist, or whatever. We have this giant, whether you call it neoliberalism, globalism, whatever you want to call it, they're trying to, you know, homogenize culture all over the world, and basically multinational corporations, along with, central banks, are, it's a giant power grab. And if you can't see that, I don't know what to tell you. Okay, somebody asked, what is a safe place for Americans to go? This is always one thing that people are worried about with Mexico. You know, they see the narcos or whatever. And yeah, of course, there's a lot of truth as far as crime in Mexico. I'm not going to sit here and say that there isn't, for sure. So, you know, it matters how worried you are about of safety. You know what I mean? Just like the United States, I mean, if you're really worried about safety, there are places that you can go, you know, that are going to be very, very safe. And there's other places that you can go that, that are probably less safe. Right. So yeah. And the same thing in the United States. So I'm sorry, in Mexico. So I would say if you're really worried about safety, then go to places that are heavy expat, you know, look at the places that have heavy expat influence, because that's only where foreigners go is where they feel safer. Where I live here in San Miguel de Allende is one of those places. Mérida is another one. Puerto Vallarta. Playa del Carmen. People might say Playa del Carmen is not so safe, but I would say it is. And things like that. And I mean, you know, a lot of people say, well, I don't want to go to Mexico and be around more expats. Even in the expat areas, you're looking at probably 10% foreigners, right? So it's not like you're going somewhere that's going to be all Americans or something like that. I mean, I think it's kind of exaggerated a lot. Like here in San Miguel is known as an expat town. And there are a lot here, but you're looking at less than 10%. You know, you can go into certain bars or certain restaurants where it's going to be a high percentage of foreigners. So if you don't like that, go to a more local place. You know what I mean? It's easy to avoid, but most of the places that are dangerous, you could say, like, you're not going to want to go there. Like if you look up online places to go or whatever, they're not going to be recommended places. I mean, like there's an hour north from here, you know, Celaya, Irapuato, those are dangerous. They got stuff going on up there. It's basically all gangs fighting each other. But it's funny because, you know, we're an hour south and nothing really going on here. And when there is something that, you know, somebody gets shot or whatever, I would say it's 95% of the time it's drug dealers shooting each other over territory in, you know, poor neighborhoods. And, you know, it's unfortunate, but that's just, I don't want to downplay it. But really, if you're going to a more upper end area, they don't want to cause trouble for a lot of the foreigners and stuff because they bring a lot of money. They bring a lot of money. So it's not, you know, there's not like a big risk of you getting kidnapped. Another thing I'd like to add about that is, you know, a lot of people ask about kidnapping. Most of the people who get kidnapped are like Mexican politicians and maybe like diplomats, things like this, like very, very rich people. Even if you think you have a lot of money, you know, if you're an expat coming down here to live a less expensive life, I can pretty much tell you, you don't have a lot of money. You're not considered rich. I mean, you got rich people in Mexico with mansions, driving around with nice cars and families that have a lot of power and stuff. You know what I mean? Basically like oligarchs. Those are the people that get kidnapped. It's not, you know, going to be you for, you know, $10,000 or something. That's not, you know, they're looking for people that they can really get a lot of money out of. So, I don't really see it as a huge problem. And, you know, if you stay, especially within the expat areas, and once you come down and experience it, and then you want to venture out a little bit, then you can do that. But I would say, don't be scared and just start out going to places where there are other expats, meet them and then venture out. I guarantee you, you're not going to be very worried about that. somebody asked, was there a food shortage similar to what the U.S. experience across supermarkets? Does this worry you? Hold on for 1 second. I'm getting a little parched. No, my answer is no, not at all. I mean, they do have big grocery stores where I am right now. They have 3 or 4 big grocery stores here, like big box. But the thing about Mexico is that in addition to those big box grocery stores, you also have a lot of tiendas. You know, there's the local tiendas. So where I'm at right now, I can walk within 5 minutes, and I can go to probably 5 or 6 tiendas and carnicerias, or, you know, butchers, right? So I can go and buy locally sourced vegetables, potatoes, whatever, and also meat. Right. And these are all sourced from farms and things like that around here. So, yeah, we can go to the grocery store and there's, you know, just like anywhere else, you know, they have big box, really nice grocery stores. And you can go in there and you can do that. We usually go to the local places because it's less money, frankly. I mean, it's much less expensive. And I really don't have any to answer your question about if there was a food shortage. I don't know what type of food shortages there was in other places, but no, we never had anything like that. I never had any of that. And so, I mean, it does worry me if I think about what type of horrible things can happen in the future. And you can always think about scenarios where things can happen. But I think that where I'm at presently and most Mexico, it would probably be better off, especially than United States. I mean, you know, I grew up in the United States and I know how it is where, you know, normally you have one, two, maybe three big grocery stores. And if they don't have a certain thing, then you're screwed. You know what I mean? But here you have a lot of smaller, it's like what I would say more decentralized. So if they can't get it from one place, then they'll get it from another farm or whatever. There's organic places here as well. And they're more expensive, but, and it's all locally sourced stuff. It's not kind of, it's not the same type of thing. I mean, I used to buy organic food in the US, you know, stores like Whole Foods and stuff like that, where it goes through this process and it's stamped and all this. And that's fine, but that's not what happens here. It's directly from the farm or wherever they're growing at the agriculture. And, you know, like I was saying before, it's so much of the economy is what they would call like gray or black market. So it's not going through all these regulations. They just get it directly. It comes off a truck. Boom. They sell it to you for cents. I mean, just pesos. It's amazing how inexpensive stuff is. So, that's one of the things that I really, enjoy about Mexico and where I am. So I don't know if anybody's got any other questions or anything. I think I've went over all this stuff. But I just thought I'd try out one of these lives and I hope you guys like it. I want to do something a little more slick, but I got to figure out the software to do it. It's been a pain in the ass trying to figure out how to make it work. Some people might have noticed like I was popping in, popping off, and all this type of stuff on different channels I have because I'm trying to make it all work together. I got the office set up. I have basically, you know, a studio here. So I think it would be cool to do some live stuff and answer you guys' questions and things like that. I'm trying to find some kind of a format that's different. Everybody's doing podcasts nowadays, you know, do something that's new and maybe, you know, can make some sort of a difference. And so anyways, if you guys have any ideas, then shoot them over. And I hope that you enjoyed this broadcast and I will talk to you guys later.
Thanks for joining us for the Borderless Podcast, traveling, investing, and living beyond borders.